Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively fully into the football season. We're going to have a Maryland Crab Cake Tour stop a little later on in the week. We'll be talking about that a little later on. And Luke Jones will be wrapping up Orioles baseball as well as embedding himself out in Owings Mills for all of the fallout of the Marcus Peters, John Harbaugh, Purple Triangle. Dennis Colatzos will be selling cars over Coons Baltimore Ford, Security Boulevard. Of course, our WNST tech service will apprise you of John Harbaugh's firing the moment it happens. Dennis, it's amazing with, when things go wrong. You manage crisis over there at Coons Baltimore Ford. We all manage crisis in our real lives. Ravens got a little crisis. I mean, it's a sports crisis, but it's in sports vernacular. What's going on here? No bueno. They're not good at the office right now in Owings Mills, huh?
I saw when you tweeted out something to the effect of the good people of Baltimore said, take the points. So I was with the good people of Baltimore at the stadium getting rained on. And I tell you what, Ness, I got home. I watched the game again. And it's you get a much different perspective. You and I talk about this all the time when you're at home watching it on TV versus at the stadium. And I think when you do both, you truly get a global view of exactly what went on. I wasn't upset at the stadium about him going for it, but when I got home and watched it again, I was like, man, why didn't we just take the points there, right? So I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game. Maybe it's time to throw the analytics out the window and go with gut feeling, particularly when the analytics said, if you take the field goal, you got a 69% chance of winning the game. If you go for the touchdown and get it, you got a 75% chance. It's not like a 20-80 ratio. So to me, the sensible thing there, fourth and goal from the 2-yard line, was to take the points.
It speaks volumes in a lot of ways about the rambling, gambling John Harbaugh. And when he can stand in front of Luke Jones, who has read the analytics book, you know, he knows you stick on 17 because he's been to the casino, right? I love all of this math because when it doesn't work out, it's like Donald Trump. What with the numbers? I went with the numbers. You know, for me, this is about, do you believe in your defense? And I will go old school. Okay. So let me break out some Ted Marchibrode or even some Vince Lombardi. Okay. I can't think of any head coach in before analytics. Okay. Let's just go back last century. Let's take it from Billick backwards. Okay. Yep. Let's even leave Mike Tomlin out of this. Bring Bill Belichick into this. Okay. Game's tied. You're at home. It's raining. You believe you're a good team. You need to win the game. You believe you have a defense. You believe that you have the best kicker on earth. Because, I mean, a lot of the times this decision would be about, I hope Tony Linhart doesn't miss the chip shot. I hope that, you know, Stover never missed those kinds, but he did that time in Miami against Cam Cameron, right? Like that field goal has been missed in the rain. So you could say, all right, it's 50-50. It's not 50-50. It's 99% that you're going to have a lead if you send the kicker out there. It's what's the percentage of getting 3 yards there on that play? I don't know. In a traditional offense, it's probably 40%. It's 3 yards, right? They were calling it two. It felt like three, whatever it was. It wasn't a quarterback sneak play. It was longer than that, right? So they had to do something else with it at that point. Now, part of the analytics though, Dennis, and Luke would speak to this, and Harbaugh would too, if I could ask him questions, but I'm not allowed to anymore. Maybe it's the length of my hair. I'm not sure. But Harbaugh would say, well, the analytics would say if we don't make it, they're first in 99. And then the Lamar threw the ball, and it wasn't for – so that threw off the algorithm, right? But the algorithm's the same. Every other coach in the history of the league, as I'm watching it on TV, as I've been subjected to do, I was drier, and that's $300 I can spend on a Fleetwood Mac belt buckle or something at this point. But I'm watching it, and I'm literally like, my dad would say, take the points, take the lead, put your defense out there. You might get the ball back again and have to kick a field goal that's 61 yards and like all of that. But if you really believe that if you give them the ball back, they're going the length of the field and going to score a touchdown anyway, if you really believe that, then you don't think your team's any good. And that is the concern I have, which is if three automatic points there with 4 minutes left in the rain, if you don't think that can get it done, then you don't believe in your football.
Well, I supported him late last year when he kept going for it because there was no Marlon Humphrey back there, Marcus Peters. But now you have Marlon Humphrey back there. You have Marcus Peters. You have Marcus Williams. You have Kyle Hamilton. You got guys with range that can run. And I flash back to 2012, Lester, New Orleans at the Super Bowl when the Niners said were inside of 5-yard line and had 4 tries. I kept thinking what Ray Lewis would say. They're not in until they're in, right? Same thing in Sunday's game. They weren't in until they were in. To say at the post-game presser that they're going to drive down the field and do this to you, you're right. And I don't mind. I didn't mind Marcus Peters going after him. And I do think it says a lot when a player wants to fight a coach on the field at the end of a game. I think the frustration is there by him, by the defense. I think they're tired of it, and they should be. He should have taken the points and let the defense try to stop Allen in the rain in front of a raucous crowd, home crowd.
Wind, rain, all goes up in the air. Marcus Williams comes down. You win the game by 3.
Anything can happen.
I mean, but you have a lead.
And you have a lead.
You had a lead. It's like taking points off the board at that point.
Exactly. You take the points. That's exactly what he did. He took the points off the board. Take the damn points. It was inexcusable. It spoke of arrogance. It spoke of stupidity. And I'm a John Harbaugh guy. You know that. I've supported him. I cannot support that again. I cannot support that anymore. His feel for the game, I don't know if he's lost his mind completely. I mean, if you're going to rely on analytics alone, you don't need a coach at $12 million a year, whatever he's making, to make those calls.
Well, the analytics part of it goes out the window when Lamar throws the lollipop, right? So you're trusting your $23 million quarterback to not make these mistakes. I mean, what does it say that he trusted his quarterback to not screw up? The quarterback screwed up, didn't trust his defense, and then the defense went out there and wet the bed anyway, right?
And it did.
The other thing about being online and when you're watching the game on TV and they're showing replays or not in some cases, they never ever show the interception, whether the 2 feet, the Ravens interception, who picked the ball? Somebody picked the ball and double tapped. Who was it? I'm trying to think. First half. I don't remember who it was. Or was it Duvernay? Was Duvernay catching a pass?
Yeah. Duvernay caught
that. 2 feet in, they never showed. Because it almost – he did drag it. I went back and –
He did.
I slowed it down.
It was close, and it looked to me like he was in.
But even on replay, what I'm saying is watching the game on TV is frustrating as hell for me. I mean, it really is. Especially when Marcus Peters is going nuts and they pull the camera off him, and I can't figure out who he's going – you know, I didn't know exactly what all that was in the aftermath.
He pulled his helmet off. I'm telling you, he pulled his helmet off right away. I mean, he was pissed right away. And I'm thinking, what's he mad about? It didn't hit me.
He was mad on the field. You could see demonstratively
– He took his helmet off.
When O.A. Pull down Singletary. I think it was Marlon Humphrey who was second to the tackle, and he had the hands in the air like, what are you doing?
Well, Calais Campbell put his hands on his helmet like, what are you doing? You know, they were supposed to let the guy score. But then on the ensuing play, they let Josh Allen just fall forward for 2 yards to get a first down inside the 1-yard line.
They were discombobbed. They were poorly coached at the end of the game.
They were also demoralized, right? I think there is a different dynamic when you're taking a field as a well-rested defense after a 10-minute drive, Nestor, to defend a 3-point lead versus getting on the field having to defend losing, right? You're in a tie ball game. A field goal ends it for you at some point if you don't stop them. I think it's a different dynamic, and that's what happened. It took the wind out of the sails of a rested defense in that fourth quarter. It's situational football. You got to have a gut feeling for the game. And once again, Sean McDermott outcoached John Harbaugh. That's what the final score says.
Well, there's no fear of John Harbaugh for Marcus Peters to be pulling that down on the field in front of you, me, the kids, the wives, the television cameras, ESPN. Like, I don't know how you come in Monday morning and you say, dude, you're a 30-year-old guy. You've been in a league. What are you doing to me as a coach? And there's also the point where, like, What does the locker room think? How does Sean get in front of the room today after making those decisions? Half the room knows he doesn't believe in him, and the other half thinks he put it on the cape, you know, the cape of Superman, and Superman threw the pick.
I feel
it's a bad week. I mean, and Cincinnati's coming in, and they may regroup because John's been doing this 15 years and makes $12 million a year doing it. To your point, this is a week where they bootstrap up, but this is a real leadership week for the whole organization, for the neophyte defensive coordinator, right? For just all of it.
Well, you know who I really feel bad for is Calais Campbell. Before the game, I'm watching the guy warm up. You know, he's very outgoing, touching all the players. And I turned to my friends I was sitting with, and I said, you know what? I hope they get a Super Bowl ring for that guy this year, because he is a guy that leaves it out on the field all the time. And just to watch him, how hard he plays, he's arguing with the referees, he's pouring his heart and soul into what he's doing. And to be let down perhaps by a poor coaching decision at the end of the game, I don't blame Marcus Peters for going off. Maybe this is what they need to get on the same page, because clearly they're not on the same page. This was a total team loss, but the head coach has got to take the points in that situation, Esther. There's no excuse for it.
Well, zero. I mean, Dennis Colatos is here. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 and again on Sunday morning. I chat with Dennis. You'll hear that on Friday and Saturday, as will you'll hear Luke as well give sort of a final recap, getting ready for the week. And Dennis and Luke usually go a little extra time as well and go up and down. And certainly this is a week to do that, right? The Bengals are coming in. What is the team right now, right? Like, I saw Jonas Schaefer tweeted there were 16 seconds away from being 4-0, like literally, right?
Away from being 0-4, right? Let's reverse that. We know what we are. It's what the tuna said, right? What Bill Parcells said. We are what the record says we are. 2-2, we're a 500 team. You and I last week talked that I said, Nestor, I hope they're 4-5, 5-4 at the break after 9 games. Hopefully they get the Gus bus back, Tyus Bowser, maybe David Ojabo. Perhaps let's see a Ronnie Stanley appearance, right? This team has to hold it together. Justice Hill going out in the second half was really, really bad. He was the running back with the juice. He was able to break some runs to the outside. This team has to hold it together at the midpoint. Hopefully they can get together and make a run. But right now, who they are, they're a mediocre average team. That's what the record says they are.
Well, they moved the ball, and Lamar's improved, but then I'm thinking, where's Patrick Queen? Where's the secondary in general? Where's Kyle Hamilton?
Well, they couldn't tackle. They couldn't tackle in the second half, right? Now, who does that fall on, the poor tackling?
Well, they don't tackle in practice. So that's – and I'm not saying they should, but they don't.
The Bills tackled better in the second half. I mean, it was a tale of two halves, and the other thing that's really stuck out to me in Esther is Lamar Jackson's not very good in inclement weather. When the ball is wet, he struggles. He doesn't like wet weather. He doesn't like cold weather. So speaking about his contract, right, which we'll talk about it once again, does he want to play for a dome team? Does he want to play for a team down south? If I'm in his circle of influence, if I'm his agent, that certainly has got to be a consideration. So to me, if the Ravens want to keep this young man under contract, they better get a deal done now before these things start to come into play. But he's definitely...
You're not getting a contract done now. I mean,
that
would be the shocker of all shockers if Bishotti says, here's $232 million guaranteed. Come on in. We love you a long time. You're our guy for the next 6 years, guaranteed. I don't think that's coming in week 6 or 8 or 10. I mean, they've signed Chris McAllister. They've done deals. They did Ronnie Stanley in the middle of the year, right? Those are two contracts, and maybe
right.
Thinking about the contracts in the middle of the year, maybe that's not such a good thing, you know.
Let's pick two different players that they did that with. But you said it last week. Does this team want to travel to Buffalo to play the Bills in January or late December? No, of course not, because again, this quarterback, as much as we love him, as much he's an MVP conversation, and one game does not a season make, he's not an inclement weather quarterback. He just isn't.
Well, I've done Chicken Little all week. Sky's falling, right? It's terrible. Harbaugh, blah, 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 Marcus Peters and all that. Then there's the point of Steelers aren't any good. Browns aren't any good. Bengals are coming in. They're pretty good. I mean, they're the AFC defending champions. Say what you want. They got a quarterback. They do things. It's going to be bright lights, big cameras, 11 days rest for them, all of that, right? They have matchup problems for the Ravens in the secondary that took them to the Super Bowl, almost won a Super Bowl last year, came 4 minutes away from doing that. It's a two-team race, and these are the two teams. The Steelers cannot win the division. right?
No.
The Browns cannot win the division. Now, can they beat the Ravens twice each? I guess. I mean, but those teams can't win the division. So I keep thinking to myself here, even if you're the hapless 9-8 Baltimore Ravens that get in to the tournament, you get to go to Buffalo or go to Kansas City or go wherever, you know, I don't know where it's going to be, right? But getting in the tournament and being the best team in this division, the air's out of the tires in Cleveland and Pittsburgh. That makes this even more important to me that they're struggling at a point and they have deficiencies at a point where the Bengals are coming in here. You know, they lost 5 games in a row at home now, right? Now, they're a favorite as the week starts against the Bengals. And I wrote in my column this week about being a 3-point dog and Vegas not thinking Harbaugh would take the 3 points there because that would have moved the line dramatically had they taken 3 points there if you'd bet on it. But now the Ravens are a favorite against the Bengals. I've watched the Bengals play for a couple weeks. I watched them play Thursday night. I've watched the Ravens play. I don't know how you make the Ravens a favorite this week. I don't know what there is to love about the Ravens in this matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a betting man, you'd have to give the points and take the Bengals. This is a team that scored 82 points on the Ravens last season, and there's no indication that they won't be able to do the same this season. So it's a huge game, but like you, I am stupefied of how they could be favored in this matchup. I have no idea. I'll flash back to the Bills game, though. Josh Allen, he made a throw in the fourth quarter to Dawson Knox over two of our guys. That guy's a dude. That guy's a baller. That guy's a player. He is just a fantastic quarterback.
We've seen a lot of that. Tua Tagovailoa before the head. We could talk about that. But, you know, Harbaugh's out spouting off about the Dolphins making decisions, and then he's got decisions on his own field 48 hours later, head coaching football decisions that didn't work out. And to some degree, the respect for Josh Allen's built in, right? Harbaugh believed he was going to drive the length of the field.
I didn't believe that. I guarantee you that there's not a single person on the Ravens defense that believed that as competitors. They were all shocked they didn't take the points. They were ready to get on the field to defend a 3-point lead. They didn't get a chance to do that. It's just
and against the history of football. I mean, like, to our point, we've been watching this a long time. There was one book for 100 years. The book said, you're home, it's wet, it's cold, we came close, the 2-yard line's not good enough, we have an automatic kicker, let's go on the field with 4 minutes left and look up on the scoreboard and we're winning. And let's take our chances that can be good enough. Winning can be good enough if we believe in the defense. And if it's not, we weren't good enough, and it's on the defense. The defense let down, and we lost the game at home in the wind and the rain because of the defense. I think I could live with that better than what you saw.
And the defense played well enough to win, right? They gave up 23 points, which in the league with the state of the offense and how it's favored, you know what? 23 points isn't a lot. I mean, the Ravens didn't score a point in the third quarter. Should have scored at least 3, right, at the most critical juncture of the game, but that didn't happen, did it? And so when they win, when they beat teams, coach gets the credit. When they lose, he gets the blame, and rightfully so.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be there with you on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning. He's out of Coons, Baltimore 4. Give me a little update here, a little fall motor vehicle update from Ford Motor Company and what you got going on over there at Secured Boulevard.
Ford Motor Company, we have enough vehicles coming in. We have more than the average dealership, of course. There's nothing average about Coons Ford of Baltimore. We have some Lightnings, some Broncos, some Mach-Es. All the latest, greatest stuff. The nice thing is, though, with fall, they're falling prices on the used car market. It's kind of softening up a bit. So if somebody's looking for a deal.
What does that mean, softening up a little bit? Is there more cars are being sold now that people are buying more cars?
Prices are coming down. They're a little bit of deflation going on with the used car market.
Your used 2019 car is no longer worth 34 grand, huh?
No, it's worth about 30 grand. There's about a 10%. Okay, there's about a 10% drop in prices. So people can actually save some good money right now on the late model pre-owned vehicles. So it's a fantastic time to come out, take advantage of the savings.
Oh, you got because some nice ones?
It's going to go back up again in the spring market. So right now, between now and let's call it January 1st, people have a real chance to save some real money on a pre-owned vehicle.
I don't know anything about your industry, but I would say a lot of people probably drove a lot less in those 2018, 19 vehicles in 20 and 21, right? Lower mileage just in general, right?
Oh, you got it. You're all over it. Yeah, absolutely.
Pre-loved is what you would say.
great time to save money on a pre-loved automobile. Absolutely.
I mean, what a league, right? I mean, the Eagles are 4-0. You got Brett Dickinson on from Ed Block, and like, you know, these Eagles people, they're all up in arms. And then like, I wish I had some concerts to go to down in DC so I could, you know, meet some Commanders fans. And but it is, you know, it's interesting at the quarter poll. We're 2-2. We're, you know, we're disappointed, you know, whatever, all that. But it the league is just fascinating. It's a great league. Even watching Mahomes run around and try to get his on Sunday night against the GOAT, and you know, watching young quarterbacks try to figure this out in the league all day long, whether it was watching that Minnesota New Orleans game from Twickenham early in the afternoon, watching Red Zone, all you know, my life's still built around the NFL. I mean, despite them throwing me out and all that, I'm pissed there's not Tuesday night football this week, Dennis, or Wednesday night, you know?
Look, it's a compelling product. I like waking up in the morning and watching a game in London between the Saints and the Vikings. I like watching Bailey Zapp with the Patriots go up against Aaron Rodgers there in Green Bay. It's compelling. It's fantastic football. It's week to week, and that's why we love it, because anything can happen. Now, let's hope the Ravens put it together and come up big against the Bengals Sunday night. That's what we can hope for.
I'm just happy my kid has Amazon Prime and I can steal his account to watch the Thursday night games. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had a chance to watch the Bengals last week.
And Amazon Prime, I tell you what, they do a good job. They looks like they've been doing the broadcast for years. They do a really good job with
Joe Buck shows up, and then next thing I know, it's slam a lam a ding dong. You know,
yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun league to watch. There's never a shortage of storylines, particularly here in Baltimore, right here, right now.
Hey, by the way, I got a fish story for you. I got, because we get to talking about things here, and I only have you on once, and then when you have me on Thursday, it's all like hardcore football. Saw this video of like a guy winning these fishing tournaments and was putting weights into the fish.
Yep. That's a thing. He got caught. He was putting lead weights in the fish's belly.
People cheat everywhere, right?
Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
That's, I remember when it was just the used car dealers back in the 80s with Kurt Russell, you know, and Jack Ward, right? Like, you know, everybody's cheating now, right? It's crazy.
Back then, they used to clock cars, right? They used to roll back the clock. That was a big thing. They're always cheating. Somebody's always looking to get an edge to make money the wrong way.
Still the greatest.
But they get caught, though. They get caught. You know, when you do wrong in the universe, eventually comes back to bite you.
Kind of a man sticks weights into a fish to try to win a fishing contest.
A dishonest man. A man you don't want as your next door neighbor. A man you can't trust with your money or your wife. How about that? That's when you know you're a good man.
Absolutely.
Or your life. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis Colazos. You can trust him. He's had a Coons Baltimore forward. The Colazos Show is also the way to find him out on the Twitter thing. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, getting you ready for the weekend, getting you ready for that Amazon Prime game, as well as prime time. Ravens and the Bengals on Sunday night. I'll be watching Red Zone all day here where it's warm and dry and all that stuff. And Coach Harbaugh doesn't have to deal with me after the game. And I don't have 1 a.m. traffic to get home on Sunday night. It looks so pleasant out there on Sunday, Dennis. Do you get wet?
I have seats. I have seats all over the stadium. I have a pair that's undercover about 4 rows back. So I did not get wet. I had a wonderful time.
All right. Well, that's good. I always like getting wet at the games. It was a little problematic when your hands get cold on the glass and you're trying to tweet, and you know, in the modern era, but I put a picture up Sunday of me at a game a couple years ago, rained every week, right? It was 18, 19, one of those seasons. Oh my God, the weather was horrific every single home game. And I had my purple poncho that's now in retirement. If you need it, you can have it. I never minded the wet. I never minded the cold. We love the snow games, our favorite game ever, right? That Minnesota Vikings game. So bad weather used to mean bad things for the visiting team, right? That was part of our.
Yeah, but I think bad weather nowadays means a bad offensive play by the Ravens. I just don't think. I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. You know this, but I don't think he plays as well. Maybe no quarterback plays better in inclement weather, but I think it affects him more than others.
Dennis will affect you on Thursday and again on Sunday morning. We'll be back here next Monday, bleary-eyed after a late Sunday night of national football. Chris Collinsworth's coming down, so it's always my favorite. Tirico and I get along just fine, but Collinsworth, not so much. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We'll get along better if Chris Collinsworth calls a victory on Sunday night. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.